With the failure of past climate summits fresh in the minds of government officials and activists, leaders of 150 nations, along with 40,000 delegates from 195 countries, are participating in the United Nations climate talks that got underway in Paris on November 30th. Massive protests planned by climate activists for Paris have been banned by French officials in the aftermath of the November 13th terrorist attacks that killed 130 and injured 350 more. One contentious issue that must be resolved in Paris revolves around the question of whether or not to make any agreement that's hammered out legally binding. While the European Union and many other nations favor a binding agreement, President Barack Obama has only narrowly supported making periodic reviews of greenhouse gas emission reduction pledges legally binding, recognizing that the Republican-controlled Congress would almost certainly defeat a move to approve a fully binding new climate treaty. Another likely sticking point is the demand that industrialized nations help poorer countries that have contributed little to climate change but are the first to suffer its effects in the form of extreme weather and rising sea levels. Whether or not the nations gathered in Paris will achieve an agreement that limits a rise in temperature to 2 degrees Celsius over the pre-industrial climate is an open question. But a sobering new study published earlier this fall by the U.S.-based climate research group Climate Interactive found that even if every nation honored their announced carbon emission reduction targets, the world would still be headed toward a 3.5 degrees Celsius rise in temperature by the end of the century, an increase that scientific research predicts can lead to crop failures, food shortages, and widespread plant and animal life extinctions. Your reporter spoke with John Cookett, Global Climate Policy Director with the Sierra Club, who talks about what's at stake in the Paris Climate Summit and the role of the global climate movement in pressuring governments to take concrete action to address the causes of global warming.
Well, I think that at this point it's pretty clear that the world's leaders have learned from the mistakes of the past in climate negotiations and have established a framework that is much more likely to be successful. Already we've had almost 180 countries representing 95% of global greenhouse gas pollution come forward with plans. We have strong statements from over 100 world leaders today talking about Paris as a starting point and talking about the obligation to future generations. The fact of the matter is the UN and the leadership there and the leadership of the United States, China, India, and other countries understand that they needed to do things differently, and what we're seeing now is the fruits of those labors over the past year or so. Particularly successful conversations between the U.S. and China that resulted in really early pledges by those two countries over a year ago that then proceeded to unlock contributions from all these other developing and developed countries.
John Cookett, in advance of the start of the Paris Climate Summit, key nations, and you just mentioned China and the U.S., of course, pledged to reduce greenhouse gas emissions that cause global warming. Do these pledges that have been laid out in advance of Paris go far enough to address the urgency of climate change?
Well, there are sort of two ways to look at these. From a political basis, and when you think about how important it is to really get the entire world acting on climate change, these pledges are incredible. They represent a tremendous departure from our inability to get the world focused on this in the past, and they are going to result in unprecedented efforts to address climate change. But of course, the math doesn't lie, and it's very clear at this point that without continuing acceleration of these efforts, we will not avoid dangerous climate change. So it just partly it depends on how you look at it, and partly it depends on what comes next. Paris is a really important turning point, but it is absolutely not the end of action on climate change. And we saw that in many of the leaders' statements today. Everyone seems to understand how important this is, and no one is pretending that Paris alone will solve climate change.
What is the Sierra Club's criteria for success in Paris at the end of the day when that summit concludes?
I think the most important elements are the elements that point us towards what's going to happen next. And will countries come back to the table to pledge further reductions? I think actually the president put it pretty well today. He talked about whether we're creating an enduring framework instead of a stopgap solution. And I think what we're looking for is something that is an enduring framework. The main things that we're looking for include evaluatory processes that bring countries back in to strengthen their pledges every 5 years. These are, some people are calling them sort of cycles of review, but the important thing is that beginning in 2020, countries are brought back to make additional pledges so that those emission reduction targets can accelerate. The other thing that's really important is that we have a robust verification process to make sure that all countries are doing what they said they would do. If we don't have the opportunity to evaluate whether they're doing what they said they would do, it's not going to be as strong an agreement as it needs to be. So those are the main pieces. And then, of course, we're looking to see countries step up and offer more finance to help other countries take action and also to help them adapt to climate change. So there's a lot of reason to believe that once we get going in earnest, we can accelerate these reductions. The fact of the matter is that the pledges that exist right now are not sufficient to solve the problem.
That was John Cookett, Global Climate Policy Director with the Sierra Club. Find more news and analysis on what's at stake in the Paris Climate Summit by visiting our Between the Lines website at btlonline.org.